and I make nothing. Zero. Zilch. By the time I pay all my scientists, all my people in my research department lab coats, it's a wash. Well, why you do it then? Well, because I'm selfless, and I want to heal as many people as the dear Lord lets me.
What's happening, guys? Happy Sunday, happy Easter Sunday, and welcome to the Dynasty War Zone, the People's Dynasty Podcast. On tonight's show, we're going to do a post-NCAA Pro Day mock draft. A little two-round, super flex, tight end premium. But here comes the Dynasty War Zone's Easter Bunny. Hop, hop, hopping along. You know him better as the man of the hour and the man with the power. Jerry Sinclair, buddy, how are you?
I am okay. It's funny that you say that. So everybody else at my work had the day off. We do like a little brunch bingo thing. And since I am not from Iowa, none of my family is here and yada, 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 I didn't have anywhere to be. So I offered to do it and they wanted to make me wear a bunny suit, to which I vetoed because the other option was nobody does it. So I had all the cards. No, I'm not putting on the bunny suit. Other than that, today is just a continuation of why sports hates me in 2023 and 24. Michigan State hockey just lost in the regional final to none other than the Michigan Wolverines. They're going to the Frozen Four on top of the Lions, breaking my heart, on top of Michigan winning the national championship in football, on top of Michigan State football being terrible, on top of Michigan State getting crushed by North Carolina in the NCAA tournament. One day, Randall, this pain and this suffering that I am going to endure is going to turn around towards my happiness. And I got a feeling it's going to be in about 30 minutes when I start drafting better players than you.
Yeah, well, that could happen. I wouldn't bank on that happening. It could happen. It could have. It's not, but it could. It could. I will say this. Sparty had a good run for a while under Izzo. Had a nice little run. Kept Krzyzewski at bay for all those years. But everything's cyclical. You know, I live in Indiana. I'm not a Purdue grad. I went to Ball State, so go Cards. You know, I've been told for 30 years that IU's coming back at some point. They never are.
Now they are.
You know, we had that brief run with Manning and then with Luck, you know, you got to some AFC championship games. We got to a couple of Super Bowls. We won a Super, you know, I just enjoy sports for the sake of enjoying sports.
I do too. The problem is sports hate me and they want me dead.
Yeah. I'm a realist. Like, we did the pre-show for our patrons over at patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. We always do 10, 20 minutes pre-show for just the patrons. They also get the show early and ad-free. They get it Monday nights, no commercials, with the 10 to 20 minutes of bonus content. And I was wearing a Boston Red Sox hat. Boston Red Sox fan. Now, kind of like Sparty, we had a good run in the early 2000s. Been a little dry since. But that's just the nature of sports. So we're going to enjoy it, Jerry. But this is not a baseball podcast. This is not a college hoops podcast. This is a Dynasty Fantasy Football podcast. And the people want us to do a mock draft. We do want to discuss Rashee Rice. We do want to do good people, bad tweets. But let's get our commercial for the folks at the FFPC out of the way, and let's hear from the good folks of the FFPC.
Hey, you know, people always ask me, what's the World Series of Fantasy? What's the Super Bowl of Fantasy? And it's easy. It's the FFPC. Their signature Players Championship has a $6 million prize pool, and their best ball leagues start in February. And they're the answer to so many questions. Hey, what's the best place to get a Dynasty Orphan? Well, you can adopt a Dynasty Orphan at the FFPC right now. There's more orphans at the FFPC than anywhere else on the internet. That's why we partner with them. So if you want to play fantasy football for low, medium, high stakes, you love Dynasty, you love best ball, you love seasonal leagues, all types of fantasy footballers need to go to the FFPC. And remember, use promo code UNDERWORLD. Promo code UNDERWORLD gets you $25 off your first team. Promo code UNDERWORLD, $25 off your first team, no matter what the format is, at the FFPC. Go get it.
There you go. FFPC, a little quick little aside on the FFPC. and it ties back to our patron. So one of our newer patrons, Greg, and I, he's new to Dynasty. He listens to the Dynasty Warzone, listens to all the player profiler pods, and he was like, obviously he's in our newest patron league, 19, with you. But he's like, hey, where else can I get more into Dynasty? And I'm like, dude, FFPC. I was like, it's the safest. I'm like, if you invest your money and time into building up a really good roster from a startup, or you decide to take on an orphan, you're guaranteed to have it be there. So not only do we play the ad on the show, I use FFPC. I recommend the FFPC. And if you are if you're Greg and you're looking for a place to like get an orphan, he got a couple of cheap orphans, FFPC. It's a little bonus add on there at the end, but I do think it is that worthy of a product, Jerry.
And just to add on that, my Patreon 19 league is, my team is absolutely a bunch of demons, and I'm going to steamroll them.
Is it win now? Is it a win now?
Yeah.
Okay. So did my you QB, trade everything my, off?
No. I still have a first. My QB2 is a little iffy. I got Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford, so it's very win now. I mean, it's not terrible, but I wanted to go earlier, and the bastards just kept sniping everybody.
Which, and by bastards, you mean sweethearts.
Yeah. Well, yes. Until we're in a league together, then you're evil bastards.
Well, then you are Jerry's sworn enemy. So there you go. Just a little aside on FFPC and stuff like that. So let's get into good people, bad tweets, Jerry. Cool. And so over the weekend, I guess the weekend's kind of over now, but Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I was in Tennessee. And, you know, when you're there for baseball, when you're not doing baseball and you're not hanging out, because I'm not hanging out, you're on Twitter. And I saw a tweet the other day that literally made me go, what the fuck are we talking about? And I'll tell you why. And then if you read the comments of this tweet, if you go find the tweet and read the comments of this tweet, you will see where the offender of this tweet turns it around like, I didn't do anything wrong. So I'll get into that. But let's read the tweet first.
Okay.
Now this is from Kirk Ben Kirk, and I'm not making that up. It sounds like three people, Kirk, Ben, and Kirk, like two Kirks and a Ben, but it's not. It's Kirk Ben Kirk. Okay, here we go. And Kirk, not with a K, Kirk with a T. What's happening with Drake May is eerily similar to what happened to Christian Hockenberg, in my opinion. Lots of hype followed by a less than ideal season and a lot of people holding on to the old hype. Jerry, what do you think when he compares Drake May? Now, I'm going to let you go first. I'm a little biased because I like Drake May. I wrote Drake May up for the Player Profiler Rookie Guide, which I believe is out now or at least available to pre-order. So Drake May's my guy. So maybe I'm too close to the sun here. What are your thoughts on Drake May equals Christian Hockenberg?
I have only laughed at an NFL draft pick once in my lifetime. And it was when the Jets took Christian Hockenberg to be their starting quarterback. I think me and Mrs. Jerry were up north in northern Michigan, just chilling. Lake Charlevoix, that's where we're at. Great place if you ever get a chance. Beautiful place. And I was watching the draft because I wanted to see where Connor Cook was going to go, who was the Michigan State quarterback at the time. Ended up going in the fourth round, whatever. But Christian Hockenberg gets drafted in the second round or wherever the hell he went. And I died laughing because there was no way that that was ever going to be successful. And I'm pretty sure he went, it was in the second round, I'm pretty sure. Drake May is going to be a top 10-ish pick. Like, what are we talking about? And Kirk Benkirk, I'm pretty sure, was a backup quarterback at some point in the NFL. But
he was 5 years okay. of the Packers.
Okay. I thought I recognized the name. But let me just pull up Christian Hackenberg's stats real quick, because I don't have them offhand, believe it or not, from like 10 years ago. But I do remember Allen Robinson absolutely carrying that man for his entire career. But I'm going to guess he never had like 25 touchdowns in a season.
So the tweet in question, Mr. Ben Kirk, he, someone, and this is where I agree with this retweeter comment or whatever you want to call them, you know, they posted side by side Hackenberg's stats along with Drake Mays. And like Hackenberg never passed for 3,000 yards.
Oh, yeah. And here we go.
Never passed for 60% passing yards, passing completion.
His, okay, true freshman starts 20 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Okay.
59% completion.
As a true freshman, you're like, okay, that's solid. Then he's going to grow a little bit. 12 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Junior year, 16 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. So he was much better compared to that sophomore year. But we're talking about a dude who had a 12 touchdown, 15 interception season being compared to Drake Maye, who's going to be a top 10 pick. What are we doing, bro?
Well, and that's the thing is, like, he played it off like, you know, and then someone, again, they put these stats in there. And Drake Maye's got a 4,100-yard passing season with 35 touchdowns and a 3,600-yard passing season with 24 touchdowns. So had Mr. Ben Kirk said, you know, I'm seeing a similarity between Sam Darnold. Okay. I could see that. If he said, I see a similarity between Drake Maye and Daniel Jones, I've been like, fine, fair. I could totally see that in his range of outcomes. If he even went bottom of the barrel, former UNC Tar Heel in his own right, if he went Mitch Trubisky, I'd have been okay. Okay, I don't like it. I respect it. Okay, I can see Mitch in the range of outcomes. I do. And I truly believe that's Drake Maye's range of outcomes. It is that broad. Because he ran a 4.55 40 at the combine, like 95th percentile. Dude is an athlete. So I can totally, not as big as Josh Allen, but I could see the range of outcomes being a Josh Allen and being as bad as Mitch Trubisky. And everything in between is in play.
Just to double down on it, to quote my dog Theo in the chat, Drake Maye to Minnesota and every dynasty manager loses their mind trying to draft him.
Oh, it's
put it,
it's
put it in the Louvre, put it into scripture. Absolutely. The community will go nuts.
I think Theo, I think Grimmager Elations, the book of Grimmager Elations says Drake Maye to Minnesota. And every dynasty manager loses their mind. And I think that's true. So I have a new one. I'm going to give you a double shot. So I have a new sounder for good people, bad tweets. You ready? It's new. Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. Because this was my honest reaction. You ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
Brother, what's that? What's that, brother?
Yeah, that's where I was at. Because he said, like I said, he said a Hackenberg. Hackenberg. Again, Trubisky, Darnold, Jones. Even Zach Wilson's a bit dirty, but okay, fine.
But at least he was an early draft pick.
Yeah. So just one more thing.
You know how fucking stupid you have to be to even think something like that, let alone say it publicly and act like you're fucking serious.
Well, there you go. That was good people, bad tweets. And speaking of people who are fucking stupid, did you catch the Racy Rice news over the weekend?
Oh, my God.
You know, yeah, you wake up Easter morning, and I'm, you know, just scrolling through, catching up. You know, what did I miss? Because like I said, I drove 6 hours back from Tennessee on Saturday afternoon, evening. And this morning, I'm, you know, catching up, and it's like Racy Rice being sought for questioning by the Dallas-Fort Worth Police Department in connection to a wreck. And then later I find out that it had to do with, like, someone was in a Porsche and someone's in a Corvette and they're racing and three other cars are involved. Thank God.
Did you see the video?
I have not.
Let me just say, since I have seen the video, let me just say this. And I'm going to swear. So if you have children in the car, now may be a time to turn Jerry off. You are a piece of shit. You and your stupid ass ego driving like a maniac could have murdered people. And it's horrible because they go flying by. The one guy tries to go like on the left side of the fast lane and there's a wall there, slams into somebody. They both end up hitting like five cars. and then you leave. You dipshit. You have plates. You have a registration. They still know who you are. Yeah, maybe you were drinking, and maybe you won't test because you ran away. You fucking coward.
Well, it was like 6 p.m. in the evening.
Yeah. It's like, it was busy. That's what I'm saying. And it looks like it's a pretty populated area. I don't know exactly where
Dallas,
the crash happened.
Dallas, Fort Worth. I mean, it's
okay. So one of the major cities in the country.
It's one of the few cities in the country that have all four major sports. So it's a big city.
Yeah.
A lot of people at 6 o'clock on Easter weekend. How dumb do you have to be? I could sit here and kick the shit out of this guy's character for the rest of the show. We don't have time for that. No,
and we can't. So we have to talk.
What are you doing in Dynasty? What are you doing with him in Dynasty?
Probably holding him. I mean, it just putting the morals out of it. I mean, he's not going to get kicked out of the league. He's still going to be a Patrick Mahomes wide receiver. He's going to get suspended for sure, as he should, especially with the video. I mean, you're going to get vilified. It's going to be a monster suspension. I mean, you're holding. What are you going to sell him for? Nothing. Am I going to buy him? No, because if I have to deal with a year-long suspension, okay, Rashi Rice ain't that good for me to hold on to him for a year and then worry about it. So, like, I'm not risking the buy either.
It's Alvin Kamara. It's going to be 3 games. Maybe he does.
But I disagree because there's a video. It's bad, Randy. Like it's rush hour.
It could be worse. You know, you're right. I got to take that into consideration. You know, given the Henry Ruggs situation, does the NFL want to draw a line in the sand right here, right now? Hey guys, we're going to hit you hard. We're going to hit you Kareem Hunt hard. We're going to hit you 10 games hard.
And like, the difference with Alvin Kamara is Alvin Kamara's also good. So
also on tape.
Yeah, 100%. But what I mean is like when he comes back, you know, okay, the moment he's going to play, he's going to get me fantasy points. Rashi Rice is pretty good. Like what did he have this year? Probably like 1,000 yards.
Like, I'll pull up his stats.
Like, I mean, he's okay, but he's not like, ooh, I have to hold on to him and eat this suspension. And you know, like, it's just, I don't know. Like, he's fine. He's intriguing because he was young and he has Patrick Mahomes. But if this whole thing happens, he ends up being guilty and Kansas City cuts him. Okay. So everybody that threw out a trade offer for him, now you've got a guy who's going to face a suspension, going to be on a new team. Ew. Ew. And they just signed Hollywood. They have a chance to draft another one. They might just go, we don't want to deal with your fucking headache. See ya. We'll be fine because we have Patrick Mahomes.
Coming really after their bye, so like week 12 on, he had 8 catches, 8 catches, 7 catches, 9 catches, 6 catches, 5 catches.
Which is good.
And he was equally on fire in the playoffs. I think he became their guy. So we've seen the Chiefs rally around a player in distress before. With Tyreek Hill.
But we've also seen them cut bait like they did with Kareem Hunt.
This is true, but I don't think that would be the case here. The one player I'm not going to buy because of this, as a matter of fact, if I can sell because of this, I will, is Hollywood Brown. I saw someone the other day, and this was a runner-up, so by the Rashi Rice news coming out, it was Hollywood Brown or the 104 tight end premium Superflex.
Stop. That's silly.
And I was like, you do know that Hollywood Brown is 26, almost 27 years old in the prime of his power. He's on his third team on a 1-year deal making $7 million. All right. That's not even Juju Smith-Schuster money.
Okay. Well, that's disgraceful, but.
I mean, what's the NFL telling us? Two teams have given up for him, including two that spent a first on him. The Ravens spent a first on him. The Cardinals spent a first on him. They're like, nah, we're good. Yeah, you go take that 1 for 7.
Yeah.
You couldn't knock over the couch cushions in Arizona and find 7.1? Right. And that's Kyler's and that's Kyler's boy, right? They're buddies.
They were at Oklahoma together.
That's what I'm saying. They posted that goofy picture of them at a craps table. So it's clearly his buddy. I'm telling you, if I can get out of Hollywood Brown, I'm just going to hold. I agree with you.
I think it depends. Like, if Hollywood Brown cost me 104, no. You can absolutely, you're getting a middle finger emoji, and I'm not even countering you. But do I think 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns is out of the realm of possibilities? No, I don't. Especially with whatever Rashi Rice is going to do. Kadarius Toney can't do anything. Sky Moore clearly can't do anything. Like, he's got opportunities to be okay. But everything we've ever seen from him is not awesome. Like, he's pretty good. Like, he's fine. You know, if you want a good wide receiver 4, you know, and in the situation that he's in now, he could be a pretty decent wide receiver 3. 104 is not wide receiver 3 prices. Like, I
saw that, and I don't think we've ever done 3 Dana White sound drops in one show, but I saw that, and it was,
cocaine isn't cheap. It's expensive. Got to make money.
Thanks, Dana.
Yep.
Yeah, I was like, drugs aren't cheap. What kind of drugs are you on to think that anybody would give? If you get a pick offered and it has a 1 in it, take it for Hollywood Brown.
100%.
A 2026 first, sold American. 25 first, sold American. Anything in this mock draft we're getting ready to do with a 1.12? I don't care if it's the 1.16. He gone. So with Rashi Rice, I'm just holding. It's the same thing I did with Tyreek Hill. The worst reaction is overreaction. To just jump right into the, hey, I got to sell
this. That's what I mean. You're going to flip him for a 3rd if you end up trading today. You might as well just hold on to him. And if he ends up being worth nothing, okay, you would have gotten a 3rd anyway, which is worth nothing.
I say, so for him, like if I had like the 208, the 209, if I could give up like a mid to late 2nd this year and my 25 second to get Rashi Rice, that's my limit with buying. I'd be comfortable there.
Fair.
If I set a couple of seconds on fire and I go back to a guy who, again, week 12 on went 8 receptions, 8 receptions, 7 receptions, 9 receptions, 6 receptions, and then 5 receptions. I'm in, and he had 3 games in that 7-game stretch over 90 yards. So if I can get that guy for a couple of late seconds, he gets this worked out, he comes back.
It's fair.
That's where I'm looking to buy. But we've done good people, bad tweets. We had to talk about Rashi Rice just because of being Dynasty. We had to work that in. So here we go. 20 minutes in, and we're ready to mock draft.
Cool.
So we're going to be very quick on these first 8 to 10 picks. We're not going to waste too much time because I don't want to waste these people's time.
Cool. What are we doing? We're doing 2 rounds?
We're going to do 2 rounds, super flex, tight end premium. Cool. I'll try to post the results of our previous draft in the show notes of this episode so we can see where guys moved up and down. I'm giving you the one. You're on the clock. Go ahead and say his name.
Caleb Williams.
Pink lip gloss doesn't bother you.
No, because I'm a grown-ass man, and my dad told me to mind your fucking business and let people do what they want to do.
It's not hard. I will tell you, as much as I like Drake May, and I do not like Jaden Daniels, this is the point to where, unless I'm quarterback desperate. Now, this will change. This will change once we get to the NFL draft. Because like Theo said, someone goes to Minnesota, I'm going to have to change my mind.
Yeah.
But as of right now, unless I need a quarterback and I have the 102, like maybe last year you had Joe Burrow and Anthony Richardson. We're actually in a league together with the Aussie guys. That actually happened to me. I had Joe Burrow and Anthony Richardson, and I don't need a quarterback. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to use it on Marvin Harrison Jr. So that's going to be my pick at 2. And we'll just jump into the next quarterback. Maybe it's not a quarterback.
Nope. No. It is Jaden Daniels. I like quarterbacks. I think we're pretty chalk right now. I mean, 103 could change between whoever you like.
I do not like Jaden Daniels. I think he's a figment of the LSU imagination.
Totally possible.
And he could be this. He could be a well past your normal college career arc, Joe Burrow type situation. I understand that's in the realm of possibilities.
I mean,
I just don't see it. Too small.
Which is fair. I mean, he is the thin guy. He's like 210 or something.
Yeah, but he was so bloated from water weight that he didn't do any kind of.
And he doesn't know how to slide, which sucks. He takes big hits, which is not great. But 2,000 rushing yards the last 2 seasons. I know that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to replicate in the league, but If he hits, thank you.
I completely understand. At this point right here, I am going to take Drake May. That's my guy. Again, I'm a realist. You know, I don't become like a Trey Lance truther, a Justin Fields truther, that once I've planted this flag, I have to say he's the best player on earth, period. Period. And I'm not that guy. I understand the range. Like I said earlier, the range of outcomes on Drake May is, for me, anywhere from Josh Allen all the way to Mitch Trubisky and everything in between. But in Superflex tight end premium, I'm going to go with Drake May here.
I'm going to go Malik Neighbors.
There's simple stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance that a quarterback goes if there's, you know, if they end up in a good spot. Like, I could easily see JJ going at any point one of these times, but not knowing, Malik Neighbors easy.
Yeah, and Tyler, one of the members over at Player Profiler, he's in the chat, and he's like, am I crazy for thinking Malik Neighbors could go ahead of MHJ, Marvin Harrison Jr. in the real draft? Absolutely not. And I always reference this because it makes me a better dynasty gamer, is Michael Lombardi's podcast, The GM Shuffle. Comes out on Mondays and Thursdays. It's an absolute favorite. He's like, there are probably a third to half of the NFL teams that have Malik Neighbors as their wide receiver one in this class. And he's like, probably another third has Marvin Harrison Jr. And another 20% has Roma Dunze. Hey, speaking of Roma Dunze, he could be my pick, but he's not going to be my pick. I'm going to steer into Brock Bowers because I think we're still pretty chalk. I think right here, like if you have 106 and maybe last year you got lucky and Trey McBride broke out on your team, or you got Sam Laporta, or maybe that's you're already your tight end of record, then you don't have to, you know, to draft Brock Bowers. You could go wide receiver here. But in a vacuum, I have to throw out Mr. Brock Bowers.
Which is fair. I'm a guy that doesn't really like tight ends, especially taking them early. So I will be very happy to take Roma Dunze at 107 because he's an animal. Oh my God. I've been watching Oregon State games just because their quarterback transferred to Michigan State. Their coach is at Michigan State now. So I wanted to watch their offense. Oh my God, their game against Washington was awesome, and it was in the rain, and Roma Dunze was just dropping his nuts over and over and over again. Dude's good. I'll take that.
All right. Well, see, this is where things start getting interesting.
Yeah. Now is where you play your game.
For me, if teams do what they're projected to do, whether it's Denver, because I love Sean Payton, and I love Sean Payton because Sean Payton's an easy coach to get a read of. When asked at the owners' meetings, the spring meetings last week, they asked him, what are the chances of Denver trading up for a quarterback? And he said, realistic. That's the team to watch going up to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think this guy is going to wind up in one of two spots. And when he does, I think his dynasty value goes to the moon, and I'm going to take – it's a big leap from where he was last time. I'm going to take J.J. McCarthy, and I'm going to – and this is subject to change, because if he winds up not going this high or it goes to a team that I don't like, maybe he becomes not a first-rounder for me. But given the format, Superflex tight end premium, thinking that he could wind up in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, and I know the Podfather's not the big coach worship guy – but we saw Josh Dobbs do well in that offense. Obviously, Kirk Cousins was having a career year in that offense. That would be tremendous. And then Sean Payton and his, you know, success as a coach, you know, goes without saying. So if McCarthy winds up there, that's an easy slam dunk for me.
I think that's fair. And that's what I'm saying. There's a chance J.J. McCarthy ends up as 102. And I don't think it's crazy. Yeah, we didn't see all the passing that we wanted to see, but what we saw was good. I mean, the offense was humming. Yeah, they weren't super exciting, but also they didn't have tons of playmakers on the outside. Roman Wilson's pretty good, and he's going to get drafted. We might talk about him in this draft. But, you know, I mean, kid can play. He's definitely got an opportunity. For me, I think I'm going to go Xavier Worthy, just because I think if he ends up in a good situation, I'm going to have good value. I don't know if I have come along to where I would take Xavier Worthy right now in this situation. I'm just doing it in under the context that if he ends up in a good situation, I would be happy to have him. But I think most people are probably going to have him around here just because he ran the fastest 40 time. If he ends up in some place like Arizona or, you know, Kansas City potentially now, everyone's gonna freak out and he's gonna go much higher than this. So I'll take Xavier Worthy.
I believe that's a good pick. I was listening to Cody Carpentier sharing the airwaves with our buddy the Podfather this past week on the Mind of Mansion, and this is a guy that Cody really likes. And I'm not as trepidatious as I was on the very slender guy, based off the success of the Slim Reaper, aka Devonta Smith. You've got Tank Dell, who's a smaller guy. I like the fact that he wins with more than just speed. It's great that he has the speed, but he's also a good route runner. And I think he's going to go fairly high. I don't think he even gets into the 20s. I think his draft pick starts with like a 1. So he goes somewhere between 10 and 19. And I think that's really good draft capital. So now we're at 10, and you got to think of the context of the teams that finish at the 110. You finished third in the league last year. You're like, man, I was this close, you know. And then I think this one will become very, very team dependent. I would love to move back. I don't know that you can. I think this is the spot.
I think that starts at 109. I think you could go a handful of wide receivers, start going running backs. You know,
if I could get 201 and 204 for like right. the 110, I move back a couple of spots and just pick from this tier. I would love that. This is where I'm going to go the first running back off the board. Kind of sight unseen. I will say I've looked over the draft order several times. Like I don't think it will happen, but I will not be shocked if there are no running backs taken in the first two rounds of this draft. I'll not be shocked by that at all.
I'd be a little surprised if we didn't get a second rounder, but
man, I'm looking at the teams that need them early. Like Carolina's not going to do it. New England's not going to do it. The Cardinals. I mean, Cardinals maybe, but you know, James Conner's there.
Yeah, I can't imagine they do.
I mean, I'm just looking at the teams. I'm like, maybe Green Bay at 41. You know, Houston not only traded for, but then extended Joe Mixon. The Raiders, I mean, maybe the Raiders at 44. Like I said, I look through these picks and I don't necessarily see someone just pulling the trigger. Like I said, I would not be surprised. So your pick again, sir, was, oh, I'm sorry. That was my pick. I'm taking Jonathan Brooks. I'm sorry. I'm multitasking. And here's the thing. I understand that I may not get him until Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
He may not start contributing for a championship roster. And I see Ja Webb, Ja, not to be confused with Ja Rule.
That's true.
If you know, you know. But it came out over the weekend that there's mutual interest between the Cowboys and Zeke.
Which makes me think they would draft somebody, though, just because he's 100.
They re-signed Waddle.
Oh,
and they cool. Have Deuce, and they had Deuce Vaughn.
Let me pull some pocket lint out of my pocket, and
they lost their left tackle.
They're definitely in play, and the community will blow up. They'll love whatever running back goes there.
I will say this: this is a bold prediction / draft pick of Jonathan Brooks. I'm betting on the talent here, and I'm happy to wait. And you know, we'll see where some of the other guys go. I don't think Dallas is going day one or day two running back. I just don't. Now, could they take a swing at like one of these guys, like a Marshawn Lloyd later in round like 4 or 5? Absolutely. And then that would be someone we would have to move up a little bit up these draft rankings. But like right now, I just don't see it. So anyway, I took Jonathan Brooks.
I'm proud of you.
I moved him up. I'm not afraid to listen. See, I'm the perfect guy to argue with. Because if you come to me with compelling information, data, facts, not your opinion, not your feels, but data and facts, and you come to me with those things, I will change my mind. So it is your turn to change my mind because on the 111.
Nope. I would also take Jonathan Brooks because I'm also fine holding on. I think he's the best running back that's there. I'm going to go with Braylon Allen for mine. He's not exactly the last two guys I've taken, not exactly my favorite, but I think if anybody's going to get draft capital, I think it's going to be Braylon Allen, just based on his age, based on his size, based on his totality of his work. You know, he's gotten tons of carries and he's been successful. I mean, so and we're at 111 here. I'm the team that lost in the championship of my fantasy league. So adding a running back, I'll take that every time.
Yeah, this is where I'm going to go ahead and go back to the quarterback position. I'm the reigning defending champion. I'm going to go Michael Penix Jr. What do you run? He ran like a 4.5, 4.6, something like that at his pro day. You know, people were making fun of his running style. Go to Twitter. You can Google it, YouTube it, whatever. Josh Allen runs the 40. He ran like a combination. He looked like Forrest Gump met Woody from Toy Story running a 40. It does not have to be aesthetically pleasing for it to be good.
You ever seen Kirk Cousins run? I mean, that dude runs straight up.
I'm with you, but Josh Allen.
I know. It's mobile.
But he runs effectively. He runs for fantasy points. So there you go. That is round one. Round one went pretty quick because, the top seven are locked in. You mean you can put them like dice in a cup and shake them up, and you can put them in any order? Because here's the thing, I think
it's probably top eight too, because JJ is going to end up going unless he tanks in the NFL draft, which I don't think he's going to. Yeah, I mean he's in that bunch too.
Yeah, so that's fine. So we'll now say the top eight. You know, and remember several things. First of all, these guys went to a lot of big schools. You got USC, you've got LSU, you've got Ohio State, you've got LSU again, you've got Georgia, you've got Michigan. This is a lot of blue blood powers. So if you're a fan of one of those teams, which is not uncommon to be in a league where like you root for Ohio State or you root for Michigan, that's totally fine. We're not going to do it, but you can do it. And if you want your guy, get your guy. Don't worry about some random ADP that says, oh, I'm supposed to take Drake May at 4, but I really want Roma Dunze. Get him, because you're never going to get him cheaper. The minute you hit draft Roma Dunze, you're probably never getting him cheaper. Unless he stinks, and then why would you do that?
Yeah.
And then why would you do that to yourself? So listen, let Matt tell us about the Dynasty Deluxe. We'll recap, and we'll go into round two.
Cool.
This episode is brought to you by Player Profiler, the Dynasty Deluxe package. The rankings are the best in the industry. It includes strategy mode where you can say, hey, change the rankings to be win now. Oh, change the rankings to be productive struggle. There's also a draft planner to help strategize where you should take players, because the draft planner also includes ADP. There's a trade finder where we look up on My Fantasy League and we see trades that are done, including a particular player. Then there's a trade analyzer where you can plug in draft picks, players, and we assign a lifetime value to draft picks out 5 years. The best thing about our trade analyzer, it can't be gamed with volume. And there's mock draft data to see right now what's the market for player X versus player Y, including in the fall when very few mock drafts are happening. And our Dynasty Guide, the Dynasty Dominator, would cost you $10 on Amazon, but you get it for free with Dynasty Deluxe. And you get our Rookie Guide for free, a $25 value. So you get all of that for $45. So it's a great deal.
I will say this about the trade analyzer, because we've all seen the trade analyzers where you can game them and you just keep dumping and dumping and dumping until it eventually gives you both columns are even in value. That doesn't work here. Your kung fu is no good here. All right, let's recap round one real quick, and we will jump headlong into round number two. So obviously 101 being Superflex tight end premium, we went Caleb Williams. I broke the mold last time, and I moved Marvin Harrison Jr. up to my two. Jaden Daniels, it went 3. Drake May, 4. Malik Nabers, 5. Brock Bowers, 6. Rome Odunze, 7. J.J. McCarthy, 8. Xavier Worthy 9, Jonathan Brooks 10, Braylon Allen 11, Michael Penix Jr. number 12, Jerry. So we have done our 12. Michael Penix for let's see, that's actually 5 QBs in the first round. Do you think that's feasible for real drafts? Will we actually see 5 QBs go in round 1 in a Superflex?
Yes. Yes, we will. Now, I don't know if it's going to be those 5 exactly. Maybe one of them falls out because the NFL falls in love with Bo Nix or something. Then sure, but I think it's easily possible. At worst, I think we're looking at 4, which cool. Hopefully it's not the Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson draft class, and we actually get to use them, and this game won't be evil for us. Top of the second, Troy Franklin, wide receiver, Oregon. I think he's got a chance, depending where he goes, he could shoot up into that 109, 110, 111 range, or if he ends up in a bad situation, he's going 207, 208, 209. So I'm going to take him here just in the thought process that he could end up in a good spot, good player, had Bo Nix, who's pretty good, not awesome. So, and he did really good in the Pac-12.
All right. Well, Troy Franklin, Jerry's pick. I'm kind of neutral on him right now.
I sort of am too, but I that's why I'm taking him in the second. I mean, that's fair.
I see. And then, you know what? I want to mention Rob in the YouTube chat. Rob, I apologize for not having a board to show you. That's why we did the recap. I'll do
he's
a better
a boomer
job.
And he's a boomer and I'm terrible at computers. I mean,
it's not even that. It's just that I'll be honest. I'm not going to say lazy. I'm going to say like incompetent. Like I didn't even think that like, hey, I could do this on Sleeper. We've done them on Sleeper before. Rob, I apologize. So we're going to do our first mock draft. Our next mock draft show is going to be 4 weeks from today. It's going to be the weekend of the NFL draft. So Sunday the 28th, we're going to do probably a 2, if not a 3-round mock draft. I will have just gotten back from the NFL draft myself. I'm going up to Michigan with the Podfather and Theo and Cody and Larky and all the guys. So we'll be fired up. Make sure you keep it tuned to player profile.
You're going to the D? You're going to see the D?
To the murder.
Is this your first time in the Motor City?
Motor City Virgin. So
let's go. Now there's a 2 infamous and famous Coney Islands in downtown Detroit. You got American Coney and you got Lafayette Coney. They are directly next to each other. They are rivals. If you do not go to both of them and tell me which one you prefer, I will never do this podcast with you again. And if you tell me the wrong one, I'll take a month.
We got trouble. I will say this. Matt got this big swanky, I don't say villa, but like a ginormous like lake house. And we're just going to do everything there. We're going to send a couple of guys. We're going to go to the actual draft. They'll be feeding things in. We'll have a news desk. We'll have Maddie and Theo. There's a real possibility where it's like me, the Podfather, and like, who knows, sitting on a couch, just breaking this down as it happens. You got to tune in because I don't know what's going to happen and I'm going to be there.
And I'm throwing this out there. If anybody else goes to the draft, you're going to fall in love with Detroit.
You, the murder mitten. I'm going to go Bo Nix, 202. I think Bo Nix is going to wind up being a Raider. I think that's the perfect spot for him. If Bo Nix happens to become a Denver Bronco, he could also be a first rounder for me.
Yeah.
The more I read and like, take it for what you will, but like, I value the opinion of a guy like Field Yates from ESPN. He's kind of taken that old Todd McShay role with Mel Kiper. And he was just talking about how Bo Nix would be like almost the perfect Drew Brees clone. Not that he's Drew Brees, but just someone who could function in that role for Sean Payton. If that happens, I've got to reevaluate. But based on what I know today, I don't think he gets past the Raiders at 44 in the second round. And so that would make me in a super flex tight end premium to get him there. I think that would be a steal, Jerry.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. And draft capital will determine where this guy is going to go in super flex drafts also. My guy is one of my favorite guys in this range, Adonai Mitchell. I mean, 6'2", 200 pounds, ran like a 4.3 something 40. You know, didn't have the most production. You know, he transferred. He was at Georgia, and then he transferred to Texas. Obviously, those are two extremely high-profile teams. So obviously a talented kid, great prospect. Ended up being pretty productive, 800-ish yards. I think he had 10 or 11 touchdowns last year at Texas with Xavier Worthy also there. And he seems to be falling in this range a lot. And that's just, I'll take that.
All right. I can tell you that Cody, now remember, Cody does Texas Longhorns exclusive content. So he has a little bit of that burnt orange bias. So take it for what it's worth. But he, as like, you know, like, and again, this is just my perception. I've not seen his rankings. It feels like he likes Adonai Mitchell more than he likes Brian Thomas, a name you still haven't heard yet.
And
you're not going to hear it here. I'm between two guys. I think this is a great place to get a running back. And I think Trey Benson fits in that physical specimen. He ran a 4.39 40 at 216 pounds. Not my favorite running back prospect. Love the athlete. Don't like how he kind of sometimes runs into the back of his offensive lineman. We'll see what a good offense he lands in, you know, how good his role could be. Because he's the kind of guy that if he were like to get that mythical Dallas Cowboys landing spot, he could slingshot up draft boards. We could slap a rocket ship on him and he would go zooming into the first round. But based on what I know today, I think right here at the 204, I think this is good value for Trey Benson.
I agree. And there's a chance he goes a hell of a lot earlier, depending how the draft shakes out. As far as I'm at now, I'm in a pickle here. I think I'm going to go with Blake Corum with my pick. There are definitely things that I'm worried about Blake. Didn't pass catch a ton. Really dependent on short yardage, and he's not a humongous guy. And so I don't know if that's exactly going to translate into the league. But also, just watching him run, he's easily the smartest running back in this class. And maybe of a few classes. Like he understands offensive schematics. He understands what the defense is doing. And he's slippery. Like he doesn't have that sort of repertoire running back where they got the stiff arm, they got the juke move, they got a spin move, they're strong and they truck people. He's just good at reading the defense. And if that's what your skill set is, that should still translate. So, and if he goes to the Chargers with Uncle Harbaugh, I mean, that's just gold.
Oh, if I'm telling you, that's how I see a second round running back happening. I see the Chargers trading back in with like the Lions or the Niners, you know, maybe even the Ravens. You have the Harbaugh connection there. The Ravens have 62, and I could see them trading into the back end, you know, because they've only got to move up like 7 picks to go from 69, nice, to 62 to go get. I could see that happening for Blake Corum. That makes sense. And he's a big faller in this because in the first mock draft we did, Blake Corum was in the first round and he's fallen considerably. But not that I dislike the talent.
He still could. He could still absolutely end up a first round pick.
I mean, it depends on where he goes. If he goes to the Chargers, it's just going to be assumed that he's the man, just Gus Edwards, blah, blah, blah. The story writes itself.
Yep.
I'm going to do it. I don't want to do it. Someone's got to do it. I'm the chosen one. I'm going to take Brian Thomas Jr. is between him and another wide receiver. I'll take BTJ. I'll be honest though. You know, I did the game plan with Matty Kiwoom the other day, and he was, you know, he was at the combine. He's like, just not impressive. And then you put the evil on him that I cannot shake in my head of being the next DJ Chark. And then
it's the first time I've ever convinced you of anything.
I know. And then I'm looking at Tankathon, you know, like their mock draft, 17 overall to the Jaguars. I mean, I can smell the DJ Chark. I can smell the Josh Doctson. I can smell the Corey Coleman on this guy. He reeks of Terrace Marshall. just a gut feel.
See, I mean, that, listen, I tend to lean that way also, but I mean, dude is an athletic specimen, and the chance that he can hit is definitely there. And this, we may look stupid. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, there's no way around it.
Oh, for sure.
There's an absolute chance that we look absolutely.
It's not going to be the first time.
No, like we showed our asses.
It's also not going to be the last time.
No, probably not the last time in the next minute, depending who I pick. Speaking of showing my ass, I'm going to take Keon Coleman. Not the athletic specimen that I was hoping to see. Pretty productive at both Michigan State and at Florida State. Just is not exactly the prototypical wide receiver that we have seen flourish. But also, we're at, what, 207? At this point, I'll take a shot on a guy who can catch touchdowns. Listen, yes, his like RAS score and his combine wasn't great. This is a dude that played basketball at Michigan State while he played football. Now, I don't know. I mean, Tom Izzo, pretty smart guy, knows what athletes look like. And he had him playing in a rivalry game against Michigan, the only human being to ever score on the hardwood and on the gridiron against Michigan in 100 and I don't know, however the hell long that dreadful athletic program has been around. But anyway, Keon Coleman.
Keon Coleman, wide receiver out of Florida State. So I'm between two guys again, and this is the spot where this would come down to what my roster looked like. But I have always been primarily a draft running backs and trade for wide receivers. So I'm going to go ahead and take Jalen Wright here. Like the athlete, I think this could be a much easier selection. I'm not going to spill the beans, but Corey, I like where your head's at in the chat. That's almost where I went, but at this point in the draft, I'm going to typically default to the running back, especially given the talent of a Jalen Wright. So I'm going to go Jalen Wright, 208.
You know, I can dig it. I thought about taking him as well. I think I am going to just stick with your strategy, and I'm just going to take Marshawn Lloyd here. I'm going to pile running backs. And even if they're backups, here's the thing. I don't have to get rid of them. I can wait. And if the starter gets hurt, they jump up in value. If the starter is old and they're gone the next season, which we just saw like 41 veteran running backs move spots and situations shifting, and you end up with somebody like Zamir White. Guess where Zamir White went in drafts? Right around here. You know what he's worth right now? Quite a bit more. Now, that being said, probably trade him because that situation may change for the Raiders. We'll find out. But anyway, Marshawn Lloyd.
I don't love Marshawn Lloyd, but that's exactly right. He's in the Tajay Spears, Zamir White, a guy who's probably a year away from being a year away.
He's a big guy and he's fast and he played in a major program and he was productive enough for 210 or 209. That's easy enough.
I'm going to be honest. So Corey has brought this guy up. He actually brought up my last two picks. And I'll be honest, I'm going to look back in like 4 weeks and I'm going to wish I had flip-flopped these two. I'm going to take Ladd McConkey. And I honestly should have taken him ahead of Brian Thomas. I think Ladd McConkey is going to be the better NFL player. That's Keon Coleman. Mark Schlereth famously says, he's like, there are athletes and there are football players. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is an athlete. I think Ladd McConkey is a football player. And given the right offense, the right quarterback, the right situation, I don't want to be like, oh, this is this class's Puka or the next Cooper Kupp or the next Terry McLaurin. But man, I'm sure getting that vibe. I'm totally getting that vibe with Ladd McConkey. I like this dude quite a bit. I will look back in 4 weeks when we do this again post NFL draft, and we'll go this. We got one more pick each, but I do want to share a little sidebar because, you know, as if we don't have enough of those. So, you know, what's the nickname for Taylor Swift's fans?
Swifties.
Of course. Do you know what Mark Schlereth has dubbed the Russell Wilson fan base?
Oh, God. What is it?
The Rusties.
Okay. It could have been worse. That's fine.
Oh, I think it's great because he's always upset with, you know, people are always upset with him. He's like, the Rusties are after me. So anyway, I just a little aside there. 211, Jerry. 211.
I'm going to take two Wolverines, so that hurts. I'm going to take Roman Wilson here at 211. Doesn't do anything real well except for run routes. And he's not a total burner, not ripping you downfield. He's good enough. He's quick enough. Nothing. You watch him and you don't see anybody that's just like going to change the world. But he's smart. And he knows how to play, and he's played in an offensive system that's complicated, like Jim Harbaugh, who exactly brought an NFL offensive scheme to college football, and he thrived in it. So I'm going to take Roman Wilson.
I can get behind that. I think he's the kind of guy that he could be this class as Jaden Reed. Now I'm not trying to do a one for one comparison,
right?
But. I think that's a good comp for him.
And here's the thing. He could have bad draft capital and then not even going to consider him here. But I've seen a bunch of people putting him in the second, and I think that's probably a little bit of a stretch. But even if he's a third, an early third round pick, I think I'm still fine having him here.
You gave me a guy that I really like, and if Cody was here, Cody would give me the stamp of approval. I'm going to go a guy who didn't make the top two rounds last time, and that's Ricky Pearsall. Really good athlete, but I think he's as much a football player as he is an athlete, and I think he's going to get better draft capital than people realize. 4-4 guy, 97th or better in the burst score, the agility score, and catch radius. 6'1". Again, people don't always love comps, but you know, we don't ever comp people to bad players. I mean, no, and that's right. Not just us. No one comps anybody to a bad player. I'm getting Jordy Nelson vibes.
Okay.
Jordy Nelson was a little bit faster than Cooper Kupp, if I remember correctly. I think this guy could play more along the boundary and not so much predominantly like in the slot or, you know, that type of guy. Good speed, can, you know, sneaky speed. He could be this class as Alec Pierce, too. There's comparing him to someone who's not good, a guy who could go in the second round and just never really materialize for fantasy. But, you know, again, based on the athletic measurables and Cody gives him that dog rating, I'm going to give two thumbs up on Ricky Pearsall, Jerry.
I think that's fair. I think we did all right. I don't think there's too much shenanigans in there.
All right, let me recap round two. And again, I'm going to apologize to Rob from the YouTube chat again earlier. I'm going to do a verbal recap of round two. Next time we do this, I will have Sleeper pulled up. And how about this, Jerry? We'll do what we did last year. We'll do a mock draft. We'll put the link out in our patron group chat. Let the patrons fill up the draft, and they can help us with the mock draft. Seems easy. Everybody wins. Rob, come back in 4 weeks, buddy. I'll have a draft board for you. Patrons get to participate. It's real. And then we can break it down round by round. Work for you?
Works for me.
Let's break down this round. So number 201, Troy Franklin. 202, Bo Nix, as I said in the group chat. And maybe I did. Bro Nix. It both work.
Yeah.
203, Adonai Mitchell. 204, Trey Benson. 205, Blake Corum. 206, Brian Thomas Jr. 207, Keon Coleman. 208, Jalen Wright. 209, Marshawn Lloyd. 210, Ladd McConkey. 211, Roman Wilson. 212, Ricky Pearsall. It's a good solid mock draft, Jerry.
Yeah, I don't think we went too crazy at any spots.
I need to aggregate them, but man, I enjoyed this one. I love doing mock drafts. The people love mock drafts. It's Easter. All these people, hundreds of people watching live on Twitter or X or Twix. That's what I've heard another podcast I listen to call it. They call it Twix. I'm like, I can go for Twix. First of all, it's Easter, and you get candy. Twix are delicious.
I mean, they are delicious.
Twix guy? All right, hey, we're at the end. We're on bonus time here, so I'll ask you, what's the 101 of Easter candy? We'll just do like, how about this? We'll go three picks each.
Let me say this. Reese's are overrated, but the Reese's eggs is still the 101 of Easter candy.
Without question,
Reese's cups just in general get way too much love. Like, they're good, don't get me wrong, but everybody acts like it makes their nipples all tingly, and they're okay. They're pretty good. Nerds gummy clusters. Like, stop.
The peanut butter to chocolate ratio is off the hook. I'm going to go Peeps. Classic Peeps.
Stop it.
Listen. I see all these bastards.
Somebody call the FBI.
Peeps are good.
They're okay. They get unjust hatred. Like, they're like the Nickelback of candy. Like, they're not as bad as everybody.
You took the 101. It's a polarizing pick.
I mean, that's fair, but I'll take like jelly beans over Peeps. Okay.
I like Peeps again. Beans. I don't want you see like the Cheetos that have like the fire flaming hot.
Yeah,
I don't want flaming hot Peeps.
No,
I don't want Dr. Pepper Peeps.
Dr. Pepper, yeah, that's how I just
these are
saw
things
those.
That exist. I just want fucking Peeps. give me the blue one, give me the pink one, even the yellow one.
I mean, yeah, I mean, they get unjust hatred, but to go Peeps, I think that is an egregious oversight by you.
Are you a Peeps bunny or a Peeps chicken?
Corey in the chat said, what are Peeps paying you? Randy's just pandering for a sponsorship by Peeps.
The Dynasty Warzone brought to you by Peeps. And the weird thing is, not only they're also not special anymore. You can walk into any grocery store or any drug store across these fine United States, and there's Peeps year round. They've totally ruined what was once.
People don't buy them, of course.
Well, someone's buying them if they're on the shelf.
You are propping up the community of Peeps.
You have to eat the whole sleeve because if not, they get hard.
Oh, cut that.
pause on hard Peeps. Anyway, obviously this jelly beans is a good draft pick.
100%.
I mean
what else the chocolate bunnies are just elite too.
You know, the
hollow depends. Version. You gotta do the hollow.
Yes,
version.
You don't need the one that you need like a chisel. And a hammer. Oh. It looks like you're doing some marble work. You're just trying to bust off a piece of chocolate.
Yeah, I don't need a chainsaw to get through to my chocolate block.
The Wish back in the day was. Do you remember? Like, did you ever get like the big chocolate bunny that had like little toys and weird stuff? Yeah. It's like, that's a horrible idea.
Yeah,
it is the horrible. Horrible idea. Like the candy was not good. The toys were covered in chocolate. This was not a win.
No. How do you feel about Cadbury eggs?
So the mini eggs, the ones that are like basically like just a better flavored M&M, okay. Two thumbs up. I'm not a big fan of gooey things.
Yeah.
It's like a melted Peep.
Yeah.
Just give me my Peep.
Yeah, see, I'm not a Cadbury egg guy.
Cadbury mini egg?
Those are fine. Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, I'll take M&Ms over those 100 times out of 100, but maybe that's just the American in me. Cadbury's British. I don't know. You know, we won a war, so I wouldn't have to eat Cadbury, damn it. That's why Hershey saved me. But, I mean, they're solid.
Who knows? Now, Corey was a good member of the chat when we were talking about wide receivers. He was keeping me honest with Brian Thomas. And Ladd McConkey, but we start talking about candy, the chat goes crazy. We have Anthony jumping in here going, the oranges that break into pieces.
Oh, I remember those. Yeah, they're solid. Not
horrible?
No, they're not. It's just like that little hint.
It's like
a little bit of refreshment.
It's like I don't want like anything that reminds me of something healthy.
Coming from you, that's just awesome.
Oh, man, I won't even get into my lack of Easter treats. So my wife grew up Catholic, so she still, you know, observes Lent. and she gave up chocolate, which I have no fucking idea why she gives up chocolate. Ruins the whole house for 6 weeks, but that's neither here nor there. So she was smashing some candy today, a little chocolate for the missus. And Vinny, of course, gets an Easter basket because, you know, kids deserve Easter.
100%.
Kids are getting bikes nowadays, baseball equipment. I've seen it all. I mean, remember, I worked at Dick's Sporting Goods for 20 years. He just got a simple Easter basket with some treats. I couldn't have anything. Had a little Easter dinner. I'm doing 75 hard, and like there's no cheat meals in here. This is horrible timing on my part. Buddy. So I didn't partake, Jerry. So we'll get out of here.
Well, hold on.
Okay, before we do.
Uh-huh. Does your 75 end before you go to Detroit?
Yes. So ironically, I mean, if you're sticking around this long, you're here for the conversation at this point. That's true. We're way past the dynasty takes at this point. The last day is the Friday before my first jiu-jitsu competition. So I'm doing my first competition on Saturday the 20th, and my last day is the Thursday before. So obviously I've got to make weight, got to weigh in proper. And then I will enjoy myself. I'm going to have Detroit pizza. So I know you do. Do you remember pro wrestler Kevin Nash?
Yeah, of course.
He Detroit guy. Dyed in the wool. Like, he's a big sports fan. He played hoops at University of Tennessee. But you know, he's a Tigers, Lions, Pistons, like it just, yep. Detroit guy through and through. And one of the things that he always talks about is how good Detroit style pizza is.
Yeah, buddy.
So that is one thing. So I haven't had pizza in, I think we're at 58 days, if I remember my calculations correctly. So that is what I'm going to have when I get to the Murder Mitten. I'm going to have some,
I'm going to give you a chain. Different. Yeah, it is. I'm going to give you a chain because it's going to be everywhere. And you said you're staying on a lake. And so I'm guessing you're staying in a suburb somewhere. Jet's Pizza. It's a chain. So it's not like, Buddy's
is Jets here.
Buddy's is goaded. No, Buddy's is the 101 that Anthony said. But I don't think that's going to be around you. There is one in Ann Arbor, but it depends where you're staying. I mean, that's probably too far out.
Here's the thing. I haven't had pizza in almost 2.5 months.
Get Jets, you are going to be so effing thrilled,
dude. I've had Jets. Jets is literally.
That's Detroit style pizza.
Well, I understand, but there's something about having Detroit style pizza.
Okay, then you got to get Buddy's. Then Buddy's is your place.
So that's the whole thing. It's like, I'll throw a couple because I'm driving up. You know, like Matt lives in Connecticut. Matt's probably going to fly in from Connecticut, and you know, Maddie's going to fly in from New England. I'm just driving up. It's like 4.5 hours from my house. I'm just going to drive, so I'll have a vehicle. Throw a couple of guys in the truck with me. And we'll go get some Buddy's. I mean, Buddy's pizza.
I'm just telling you.
I'm taking
you
the
also,
note.
You got to do the Coney Challenge. Like, that's a staple of Detroit. You got to go Lafayette or American Coney, and you got to eat both, and you got to pick one. You got to. This is Bloods and Crips.
What's the open carry law in Michigan?
I don't know. I would shoot myself if I had a gun. So I would be like Cheddar Bob in 8 Mile. So I cannot be trusted. I can't even be trusted with a dynasty team. Who are you kidding?
Well, there you go. Thank you for sticking around to the end. This is kind of where we just get silly here at the end of the pod. Talk Easter candy, talk pizza.
You're also, you're going to my city. I got to get excited for it.
Yeah, dude, 100%. But speaking of being excited, got some great guests coming up. I'm waiting for final confirmation for next week's guest. But on the 14th, we have Maddie Kiwoom from Player Profiler coming on with us. And then the 21st, we have Nino's coming back. Nino Part 2. Nino episode last week blew the truck up. If you're not following Nino is just a tremendous follow. Jerry said, not only is he a good guy, but he's so much darn fun to interact with. He's a riot.
True.
So we'll get him back on, and then we'll do that mock draft. So it's going to be a lot of guests the next 3 weeks. Please come back. Thank you to everybody who watched. Again, we see these numbers. I mean, we're like at 600 people. You know, that's a lot. And we're grateful. And all the people in the chat, from Anthony to Corey to Harry to Rob to everybody. And that's why I love the chat. I'm going to be honest. Rob made this show better. Rob made the show on April 28th better. Because he's like, hey, where's the draft board? And I'm like, oh shit, I'm a dumbass. I didn't, you know, simulcast.
I'm just lazy and suck, so I couldn't. I was not going to be helpful.
Even though I'm the quote unquote boomer, Gen X, by the way. Even though I'm the quote unquote boomer, I'm the tech guy. So we'll just leave that right there. Yeah.
I have to deflect my inferiorities.
This is true. So like Anthony said in the chat, like and sub and leave a comment. And if you're listening on podcast, just leave us a 5-star. Subscribe everywhere. If you're looking for some bonus, we mentioned the Dynasty Deluxe package. We got the FFPC. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. Thank you for sticking around all the way to the end. Sometimes we have fun here. And speaking of fun, we'll have some more fun next week with a guest talking 2024 Dynasty rookies. But on behalf of that man, his name is Jerry Sinclair. You can follow him at Jerry Sin DWZ. You can follow me at DWZ Memphis. And until next time, guys, you all have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Hey, I want to thank you for being part of this broadcast. If you have any thoughts on it, leave a comment. If you enjoyed it, make sure you leave a like. And if you want to see more shows on the Player Profiler channel, subscribe to it. That's how we know you want more.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
We won a game yesterday. And if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.